All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. Folks, I'm still trying to get over the flu. It has been kicking my butt. Wow. But anyway, excuse me. It is 45 degrees in the city of Chicago, straight up. It's very nice. It's been raining all day, and it's the kind of day you say to yourself, I'd rather stay home and sleep, relax and sleep if you can. It was a great day for that, and it's still raining. It's cloudy. For the month of March, it's actually March is ending, and it's been one of the. It hasn't been a premier month, you know. So it hasn't been a great month in terms of the weather, but we're getting through it, and we better get through it, right? All right, so you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for tuning in. I wanted to apologize to some people who tuned in for the last two or three days, didn't get me because of what I'm going through now. And I couldn't get a substitute or maybe someone to sit in for me because they were having their problems. If my voice sound a little different, that's because it is. I'm still getting over this massive flu bug. The thing about that is that I had a flu shot. I'm thinking it wore off or something. You know, we did have flu shots. Everybody in the house had flu shots, but you know, somehow when they wear off, the shots wear off. You're unprotected, and all of a sudden you're down for the count. You know, the flu. I mean, it will kick your ass. I mean, it will totally kick your ass, and it lasts for not one day, 2 days. It can last for 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, this is the first time this has ever happened, but I guess it's the first time is as good as any. You know, you don't want it to happen again, but you never know. I've told some people about the flu, that I've had the flu, and they were telling me that they knew some people who had the flu also, and they were telling me that it's really something you just have to deal with and take. You know, I've been taking all kind of medications. It seems like nothing actually works. You just gotta. I just feel like when you have the flu, and you know what the flu is all about, you know what kind of how it disrupts everything. I think you just gotta wait until it goes its course, you know, and that's what I'm waiting on for it to go its course. I've taken all kinds of medication. I don't want to overdose on medication. So now you know. If you've been following the George Wilder Jr. Show, you know that sometimes things happen that you can't beyond your control. So you have to do what you have to do to get things done. All right, so thanks for tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show. I got my son over here shredding documents for me. So if you hear anything in the background sounding like a shredder, that's what it is. It's a shredder. And my guest today is Carolyn C.J. Jones. I apologize to Judy Cochran because I couldn't. Hopefully she'll be rescheduled. But things happen. I believe she told me, I think she emailed me and told me that her husband or somebody in her family also had the flu or has the flu. And it is a mess, folks. Okay, I'm going to try and get through this. I got a lot of things I can play with on here. So it should be, I don't know, it's going to be interesting. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. On Blog Talk Radio. If I don't sound as festive or as uplifting as I've always been on the show, then you'll know why. Stay tuned. I will return as my old self in a few days, hopefully. All right. Okay. Talking about, going to do a little bit of Chicago news here, folks. Suspect at large after masked man robbed liquor store near ISU. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. One of the things about March ending and April beginning is baseball season, at least in the city of Chicago, it's about to start. Yeah. Cubs countdown 3 days till opening day. Yeah. It's going to be baseball is going to be starting in a few days, folks. I believe after Sunday, it'll be all over the place. You know, so that's one of the good things about spring and summer. You're going to have baseball. And the Cubs are these guys are coming off a World Series run. You know, these guys are champions, you know, so that's going to be exciting. And the team has been remaking itself. I don't know why teams have to remake themselves after a championship win. I would think you would stay with the same nucleus. To keep the same guy in place, you know, maybe for a second run at the World Series. I'm about to say Super Bowl, World Series. Yeah, when I think of Super Bowl, I think of Jay Cutler. Excuse me. Jay Cutler has been released from the Bears. I'm going to be coughing on and off, folks, so because I am a little bit under the weather. So Jay Cutler is, he has been cut from the Bears. And he posted his picture, I believe, on Instagram, wherever he posted it at, somewhere on the internet. And a lot of people got wind of that photograph that he posted, or somebody in his family posted. Jay Cutler standing on a balcony, completely naked. He doesn't have on any clothes. He's facing the balcony. You can see his butt, you know, from head to toe. You can see his whole body, but he's turned toward the beach or lake, wherever he is. He's on a balcony, maybe in a hotel or something. And he's completely naked from head to toe. He has on no clothes, you know, but you can see his behind is showing. So this is, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Jay Cutler, the former quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I'm pretty sure some of you guys probably seen it. If not, it's on the internet. I mean, I wasn't surprised by it. I wasn't amazed by it, but a lot of people were. So Jay Cutler completely naked, showing his ass, put it that way. Okay. And the first thing that came to my mind is Jay Cutler is telling a lot of his critics, the Chicago Bears, and a lot of people who are been criticizing him over the years, basically with this photograph, he's telling people to kiss his ass. That's the way I saw it. That's the way I see it. And I don't think there's hasn't been a team to pick him up yet. I haven't heard of that. And if a team doesn't, if an NFL team does pick him up as to be a quarterback, he'll be a second or third string quarterback. And I don't know if Jay wants to be a second or third string quarterback on some other NFL team. But, you know, it's better than being out of football because I think he's still young at 34, 35 years old, something like that. In his early 30s, somewhere in his early 30s. He can still play. He can still play. But he has such a checkered career. I don't know if another team wants to pick him up or another team wants to take a chance with him. But anyway, he's got that photograph up there, folks, and he's telling all of his critics to kiss his ass. And yet, I thought Jay was mild-mannered. Brandon Marshall, a former Bear, he said he's known Jay Cutler since 2006, and he looked at the photograph on his phone, and he said, Jay, what are you doing? Jay's telling everybody to kiss his ass. That's why, you know, he's telling all his critics. I mean, he's rich. I mean, he's filthy rich. So he doesn't have to play football ever if he doesn't want to. But I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to lay around on his butt and get fat. He wants to be doing something, I'm pretty sure. So he may sign with a team as a second or third string quarterback. He'll have to work his way back up to being a starting quarterback, no matter what team that he's with or what team that he may be with. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said, my guest is Carolyn Jones, and we are now on the air. We're live. Be kind to one another out there. It's easier than you think. This is about helping to make the world a better place. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I've also had some computer problems, so it's been a rough week, folks. Computer problems and coming down with this sickness, it just sometimes it's just the bad just gets worse. And hopefully I will probably never forget this week, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see what we can do. Can we play a clip or something so I can get up and go get a drink of water? All righty. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And in Chicago, two gang members, if you call them people, I don't think they're people, two charged after YouTube video leads police to find guns. It's just this video, these gangbangers in Harvey, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. They're on a video. I believe it was posted last week, but we're just now seeing it. These gangbangers from Thuggish Gangbangers made a YouTube flashing their guns. I mean, this is a crazy YouTube, a crazy video. Gangbangers flashing their guns all over the place, threatening, taunting the police in these YouTube videos with guns all over them. It must be about 10 guys, and every guy has a gun, and they're flashing it all on the camera. And this stuff was posted on YouTube. And this is crazy because the police officers, the authorities of Harvey, Illinois, went and got these guys, closed the home down. And one guy he just got out of jail 2 days ago. He was on home monitoring, and he was carrying a gun. They arrested his ass. This was dumb. This was dumb. I mean, anytime if you're a gang and you want the police to come get you and arrest you and take you off the street, just make a YouTube video waving your gun, threatening the police, and they're going to come after you. So this was dumb on their part. And they're still showing the video. Okay, let's see. Two men have been charged after a video posted to YouTube led authorities to raid a home in the south suburb of Harvey early Wednesday, resulting in multiple arrests after police said they found drugs, weapons, and a dead dog in the garage. Of course, they were into dog fighting. Okay, some names. Ivory King, 24, of the 100 block of West 158th Street, was charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, dog fighting, possession of marijuana, possession with intent to deliver, and possession of a controlled substance. In other words, drugs. Okay, another guy, Christian Sanders. These are all gangbangers. Thugs, gangbangers, killers, murderers, ex-convicts. Christian Sanders, also 24 of 100 block of West 158th Street, was charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, possession of marijuana, and possession with intent to deliver. I think I just read that. Excuse me. Detectives were alerted to the 40-minute video. It's a 40-minute video that appeared to show a well-known drug dealer and at least 20 known gang members from various other Southern Cook County communities displaying guns and marijuana at a home on the 100 block of West 158th Street, Harvey, Illinois, police said in a release. So these guys are locked up, and they have been taken off the streets. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. So Harvey, some of the people, some of the residents of that suburb, Harvey, Illinois, can rest a little bit easier tonight because we got some thugs, murderers, and crooks, dope addicts, drug addicts, whatever, off the streets of the city of Harvey, Illinois. So that should be a reprieve for a lot of those folks around there in those communities, that these thugs are taken off the streets. But as I've said before, you take one thug off the street, another one grows right in its place. So this is an ongoing problem. My understanding that four people were shot in the city of Chicago. Four people were killed. We have express shootings. It's just all over the place, folks. Things are just, crime seems like it's just, there's no cure. I mean, we have a police department in the city of Chicago, but the only time you hear from these folks is after the fact, is after the murder and carnage has been done. But anyway, it's 45 degrees in the city of Chicago. It's 619 straight up. It's dull, rainy, cloudy. you know, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one around here that's under the weather, because the weather has just been awful. It's been awful. And well, I'm here. That's all I can tell you, folks. I'm here. The George Wilder Jr. Show is here. We're on the air. And tonight, once the show is over, we're going to be off for 3 days. I'm going to be recuperating. You can always podcast the show. I mean, a lot of shows are podcasted, and they're just as good as the, anything live. Excuse me. Yeah, and you can always find me on Facebook. I'm still on Facebook. But I can't, you know, on Facebook, I'm usually posting all the time and interacting with some of my friends. But when you're down with the flu, that's hard to do, because your brain is not functioning even well enough to even try to get out a sentence, you know. And I'm getting better. This is a lot better. I mean, if I can come on the radio, this is a lot better. I mean, I'm getting better, but, you know, I'm still a little bit, I have this nasal voice. And it's not funny. This is really serious stuff, folks. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I had some clips on here, some very, very good clips. I had to get them off because I felt that downloading some of these clips were putting a virus or something on my computer, and I had to try to find some antivirus software. I've got some antivirus software on my computers. I don't know how good it is, you know, but at least something there, because the way of the internet and where it's going right now, you're going to need protection on your computers. On a computer, if I didn't have some sort of antivirus, anti-malware, spyware on the computer, especially nowadays, since the Trump administration away all internet privacy, you know, so you have to have some sort of protection on your computer. Please get you some antivirus software on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet, anything that's connected to the internet, because these folks are out there and they are wreaking havoc on your computer, my computer, computers all over the world. They're stealing all kinds of information. So do yourself a favor. If you don't want all of this, these problems, and there are problems, many problems out there, get yourself some antivirus software, place it on your computer, and let it stay. But you know what? There is some, you don't always have to pay for antivirus software. If you look around the internet, but make sure you look around and make sure it's legitimate, okay? Make sure it's legitimate wherever you go, because there's so many sites up here. You don't know what's legitimate and you don't know what's not legitimate. You know, you really don't know. And you have to like play Russian roulette to try to figure out what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. Spin the bottle or whatever. And, you know, you might get it right at one point, then you may get it wrong at another point. But you have to have antivirus on your computer. I mean, you can't operate without it. You may figure you can get away with it for a month or 2 months. That may be true, and in some cases, you may not be able to get away with it for even a week. The spies are out there. The scammers are out there. The dishonest people are out there, you know, because I get a lot of emails saying, George, do this. George, do this. George, you should go here. George, you should. And I get a lot of websites. I say, George, your PayPal account is not up to date. You know, and I'm saying to myself, you know, this could be true. Then I go to it and try to update it. And then my PayPal account is asking me for all kinds of information. This may be legitimate, but I don't know. Then again, it may not be legitimate. What do I do? What do I do? Because because if I go to some professional who is some professional, he's probably going to say, we don't know either. You know, there's a chance you have to take, or just leave it alone. I love my PayPal account. I want my PayPal account, but I don't know. When they say it needs an update, it might need an update. But the update that they're sending me could be from scammers to get my information. So it's rough. It's rough to try to figure these things out when there's so many factions out there that are coming after you and making these websites look legitimate. And with this, and with the privacy laws on the internet taken away, it just opened the door for more scammers. For instance, IRS, you know, remember when the IRS said that they would never call you on the phone? You know, because there was a lot of people complaining about they were getting calls that said the calls were coming from the IRS. And the IRS would say they would never call you. So it must be scammers that are calling you because the IRS, they would never call you. However, the IRS has changed that. The IRS saying we will call you. So that put a lot of people in the flux. How will they know if it's IRS calling or if it's a scam saying that they're IRS and they're calling you? You have to weigh the possibilities. And excuse me. You have to weigh the possibilities. So we live in a world where it's so easy to be manipulated, and there's no guarantee of any kind of protections out there for you. So if somebody goes in your bank account and steals $30,000, they just stole $30,000 of your money. You know, because in some cases, banks are not supplying you with any, banks are not insuring your money like they used to. So things have just gone to hell, the pot, you know, with this Donald Trump administration, which we're going to talk about later. And I think Trump signed a bill saying that certain states within the United States have the power to defund Planned Parenthood. Wow. I mean, this is, and he always stresses that he's for women. He's for women. And then he does something that goes against women's values, defunding Planned Parenthood. But he's allowing the states to do it. It's not a federal law, but he's giving states the power to defund Planned Parenthood. And with all these Republican governors around the country, that's going to happen. Planned Parenthood is a legitimate organization. It's an organization that the Republicans just don't fucking like. They just don't like it. They don't want it. They don't care. They don't care how legitimate it is. If it's for poor women or for middle-class women and is governmentally funded, they can't stand it. They're just haters of this thing. Period. They can't stand it. So they have, he signed a bill saying that, you know, states can, if they want to opt out of Planned Parenthood, they can. They can. And a lot of states are going to do that. Just like I just got through saying, you got all these Republican governors and a lot of these guys can't stand Planned Parenthood, no matter what their constituency might try to tell them. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is 6:29. Is it 6:29? Yeah, my clock. I have one clock saying 6:28. The other one is saying 6:29. But anyway, it's 6:30. And like I said again, folks, I am under the weather, so I'm trying my best here. All right. And I want to apologize again for yesterday and later on earlier in the week. Okay, that's enough apologizing. I'm done. All righty. It's 6:30 p.m. right now in the city of Chicago, 45 degrees. We're near the lake, and it has been raining, pouring all day, dull, this type of weather you want to just sleep. Wow. It is something in the city of Chicago. All right, you're on the air. Go right ahead. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Yeah, hi, it's CJ Jones.
Yeah, Carolyn, CJ Jones. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm a little bit under the weather, Carolyn, but you know, I'm trying to get through this, you know, so.
All right.
Ah, yeah.
All right.
All right. Tell my audience a little bit something about yourself. Give us a bio. And you are an author and a speaker?
I am, and a coach.
Yeah.
I am. Yes, and a caregiver. I do lots of different jobs. Keeping busy.
Okay, all right.
You want to hear my story?
Yeah, tell us about your coaching. What do you coach? What kind of people do you coach? Are you into relationships, families, relationships, or just, you know, kind of a motivational speaker trying to get people to, in a way, to better their lives, their situations? So what do you do?
I motivate people, and I'm a motivational speaker, and I work with people on developing their level of gratitude and learning to forgive others and themselves. So I specifically work on those areas. Just by working on them and coming at things from a different point of view, that makes me valuable for people in relationships who are having difficulties. Often what I see is the couple is just, maybe one person has an expectation that wasn't met, and so they have a resentment. With that resentment, they withhold their affection, for example. And it goes on, the ways in which we treat each other when we're not happy in a relationship. And so the program I teach is actually called Freedom from Resentment, The Art of Forgiveness.
Do you think most of us are not forgiving? You think most people are not forgiving, especially in some of their relationships? You think people should be more forgiving?
Well, first of all, I don't know how many people are forgiving. I don't know. I would tend to think that a lot of people don't want to forgive, and yet there are a lot more people who are beginning to come around and are learning to forgive.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, from my standpoint, I would probably...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, from my standpoint, from the way I look at it, I do think there's probably more people out here willing to forgive than there are people out here not willing to forgive. Because, you know, I mean...
That's great.
You know, I mean, especially because go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that sounds very, very possible. And you asked me a second question. What was on top of that? What was that question? Do you remember?
What was the question? No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. All right, that's Carolyn C.J. Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do you have a book? Are you an author?
I am. I do have a book. It's called Opening the Gates of the Heart, A Journey of Healing. It's a hardback cover with 42 images, photographs of wrought iron gates that I took, and prose or verses that go with each gate. And I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I wrote the verses also. So I self-published it August 8th of 2010. And it's been doing okay. It's been so well received, George. And that just really touches my heart, because the book is all about my recovery from childhood issues and recovery from alcoholism. And so it was very personal and close to me, and I was terrified to put the book out there and let people read my deepest thoughts.
I finally got the
courage and published it. And
it's
like a tribute to the resiliency and the spirit of people.
Is that one of the reasons why you became a coach and a motivational speaker, because of how well your book was received?
No. In fact, I left being a publisher to become a coach because I realized being a publisher, I was on the wrong track. What I needed to do was be teaching about forgiveness because, you know, George, I spent 30 years of my adult life very angry and bitter about my upbringing. And I drank and drugged over it that whole time. Until I finally crashed and burned, I was 48 years old. I left a marriage I had been in for 20 years, which was a very volatile marriage. It was another alcoholic I was married to. And
wow.
Yeah, and then I became sober. That was 16 years and a couple months ago. And what I have found, and this is why I became a coach, is because I've been on the side of anger and bitterness and negativity and not being appreciative of anything in your life. And now I'm on the other side, and I see how wonderful it is to be on the other side.
Yeah.
And so I want to help people get to where they can find peace and freedom in their lives.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's great. That's wonderful that you're taking some of your experiences from life and wanting to help other people in case they're going through something like that.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
I just feel like that's my calling, that's my purpose in life, is to share this thing called forgiveness that you can change your life with.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your story. I want to thank you for being the person that you are. Thank you for wanting to help, because that's what this show is all about, and that's what I'm all about, trying to make the world a better place. If you can turn one person's life around, that's monumental.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So are you planning on writing another book?
I'm actually a co-author in three books. Living in Gratitude Daily is one, and Women of Courage and Women of Destiny, Moving from Fear to Faith to Freedom. And that's coming out in Amazon, the Kindle is coming out on the 4th of April, next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And people can get a hold of that by checking it out on Facebook, checking my page out on Facebook. And my Facebook handle is Carolyn C.J. Jones.
What are your thoughts on domestic violence?
Domestic violence?
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with that in my life. And I can tell you that it ruins the people on the other side. It ruins the person being violated. And they have a hard road to bring themselves back sometimes. sometimes people remain bitter about that. This is how I see it. An abuser is someone who is hurting emotionally. There's a saying that is, hurt people, comma, hurt. So in other words, hurt people hurt others, and usually they hurt others in the way in which they themselves were hurt. If people could recognize that, if people could recognize what they're doing, and I also think less liquor, because I think a lot of domestic violence occurs when there's drinking going on, drinking or drugging. And I would love to infuse people with a sense of awareness about themselves and encourage and invite people to take a look within. And anger is a hard emotion to carry, and it's really damaging to yourself, others, and underneath of anger are the emotions of hurt, disappointment, shame, humiliation, or fear. And so when one is angry, if we can look at the emotion underneath the anger, that helps quite a bit. I think if people could learn to do that, that would help a lot with domestic violence. I think there's rage on the part of the abuser. And they don't know
if
how
someone is
to
in
express
a dom-
What's that?
Situation. How would you persuade that person to get out if that person wants to get out?
That's a tough one. I couldn't even do that myself because I didn't want to be alone. I stayed in a marriage, and in retrospect, because I didn't have the courage and couldn't find the words to share with him that this marriage was not what I wanted, I stayed with him, and I was very unfair to him in that. Very unfair to him. And to leave, I fell in love with another man and basically just left the marriage. So, and what I've discovered is, and that other man didn't reciprocate on the feelings. I was sure I was going to another relationship. That's why I left my marriage. What I've discovered is alone time can be an incredibly sacred and beautiful thing.
Yeah,
and
I totally agree.
Isn't it? What do you like to do on your alone time?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Basically, I write. I like to write. Be with family.
Really? That's great.
Basically,
like
my alone time is probably, write, meditate, try to be a little creative. I can be more creative alone than I can around a lot of people. Whenever I'm alone,
That's neat. Interesting that you write. I write too a lot alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the pick for me. Yeah.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
People who are wanting to get out, consider that what you're being told about yourself is non-truth. And you are so much more than what your abuser is giving you credit for. If you can hold that in your heart, maybe go stay with a friend and get out of the difficult solution. Go to a women's shelter. That's another resource.
Yeah. You know, but some people, some women are afraid. Some women are afraid to get out of their situation, domestic abuse, because they're afraid the guy's going to follow them and kill them. And some people are just, some women are just afraid to get out of the situation. And you have some women who want to stay in that, to stay in that kind of a situation, regardless.
I know. What's with that, do you think?
I don't know. I don't have a clue. I could debate it, but, you know, you can't really get into nobody else's mind to find out why they stay in a relationship that is abusive, you know. So, because one of the things about domestic violence, that's one of the things I'm fighting against, because I've, like you, I've grown up with it. I've grown up, I've seen my cousin, my auntie being plummeted to the ground by a guy, you know, she was the sweetest woman that I've ever known. She didn't bother anybody. She was helpful. But this guy would get off work every day. I don't know. He has some attitude. I was a kid. So he had an attitude. He would just go plummet her like he was in a boxing ring or something. And she was weak. And so since then, I've been trying to get on a bandwagon. Domestic violence of any kind. I've seen young girls get plummeted. I've seen, and you know, I've seen one of my own sisters get hit by some guy, and I tried to take up for her, and they both turned on me.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I don't know why people are willing to stay with it unless it's maybe a reflection of how they feel about themselves and that huge fear about being able to support oneself. That's a real reality.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Carolyn Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Carolyn C.J. Jones. What do you like to be called, Carolyn Jones or C.J.?
C.J.
C.J. does sound a little bit better. It has a ring to it. All right, how can people get in touch with you and read your books, find out what you're doing, and they want to get in touch with you, websites and all that kind of thing?
Great. Well, check out my website. You can buy the book on it. And just a word of a bit of information. You can buy the book from me directly, and I will sign it for you personally. And if you go to buy it from Amazon, I won't sign it for you, because I don't know who you are. So you get an unsigned book. It's virtually the same price. But anyway, my website is www.CarolynCJJones, so just like my name, .com. And
all right,
you can, on my website is my contact information, my email,
okay,
and my phone number.
Okay. All right, Carolyn C.J. Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for being on the show. You were great. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, Carolyn C.J. Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I believe we have a 5 or 10 minute delay on some of these broadcasts, but we are back and on the air. I got a thing. All right, once again, the Republicans have voted for states to opt out of Planned Parenthood, to defund Planned Parenthood. And that's going to be a blow to a lot of women, a lot of young girls. Planned Parenthood is probably one of the most premier organizations there is out here for women's health and women's values, and they want to take it away. And like I said before, with all these Republican governors around the country, and it's going to happen, because most of the majority of the Republicans, they can't stand Planned Parenthood. The only reasons why they don't like Planned Parenthood is because Planned Parenthood is Planned Parenthood. Simple. But the reasons don't add up. They don't make sense. They spin the reasons of why they want to defund it. They make up reasons. They lie. They just don't like it. So we're in an era of the Donald Trump administration, and Donald Trump is just an awful, awful, awful person. And I know there's a lot of people out there that's going to disagree with that. But let me have my say on this. Let me have... I have my opinion. You have yours. We don't have to hate each other because of that. We don't have to hate each other. But here's Elizabeth Warren on during a women's march a couple of months ago, a few months ago. And this was her thought, I believe, on Planned Parenthood back then.
Hello, women of Massachusetts. And hello, friends of women of Massachusetts. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Walsh. I am glad to have this chance to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight alongside the mayor of Boston for the people of this country. Thank you. So, we're here today because of the power of women. The power of women to come up with good ideas like this rally. The power of women to organize like this rally. And the power of women to make sure that as our country enters a new political era, that the voices of the people will be heard. Yesterday, Donald Trump was sworn in as president. That sight is now burned into my eyes forever. And I hope the same is true for you, because we will not forget. We do not want to forget. We will use that vision to make sure that we fight harder, we fight tougher, and we fight more passionately for than ever. Not just for the people whom Donald Trump supports, but for all of America. Worried. Donald Trump's campaign was about attacks on women, attacks on African Americans, attacks on Latinos, attacks on religious groups, attacks on immigrants. A Trump-Pence Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade and dissolve marriages of LGBTQ citizens. A Republican Congress is eager to rip away health care from millions of Americans. America's hardworking families have taken one punch after another. Decades of trickle-down economics and attacks on unions, attacks on wages, attacks on pensions, attacks on health care, attacks on Social Security, attacks on education, attacks on infrastructure and financial regulation have gutted America's middle class. a broken criminal justice system, a broken voting rights system, and decades of systematic racism have kept people of color from having the same opportunities as other Americans throughout this country. The fact is that the playing field has been tilted badly in favor of those at the top for a generation now. And now, President Trump and the Republican Congress are ready to ram through laws that will tilt it even harder. Now, we can whimper, we can whine, or we can fight back. Me, I'm here to fight back. That's why we come together today. Hundreds of thousands of people in Boston, in Washington, and across this country, we are in marches to say we are fighting back. That's who we are. We come here to stand shoulder to shoulder, to make clear we are here, we will not be silent. We will not play dead. We will fight for what we believe in.
Yeah!
You bet. We have a vision, and that vision defines who we are as a people. First, we fight for basic dignity and respect for every human being, period. No compromise, no backing up. And second, we fight for economic opportunity, not just for those at the top, but for everyone. All of our kids deserve a fighting chance to get ahead. Everyone, economic opportunity for everyone. That is the American deal, and that's what we fight for. You know, those core principles call out the best in who we are. For too long, American families have seen a government and an economy that isn't working for them. And Trump and the Republicans promised to make America worse. But we're here because we are ready to fight for the people who want to build a country that works for all of us. That's why we're here. We come together to give each other strength. We come together to give each other courage. We come together to remind each other of our values. As we get ready to march, let us remind each other what we believe in and why we fight and why we will keep right on fighting. We believe that no one in this country should work full time and live in poverty. And that means raising the minimum wage. Yes, it does. Paid overtime, sick leave, we will fight for it. We believe that workers have a right to come together and to bargain together. Unions built America's middle class, and unions will rebuild America's middle class. We believe that every young person is entitled to get an education without getting crushed by student loan debt. We believe in debt. Say something that is really controversial in some places in Washington. We believe in science. Yeah. We know that climate change is real, and we have a moral responsibility to protect this earth for our children and our grandchildren. believe that immigration makes us a stronger country. We will not build a stupid wall. And we will not tear millions of families apart, not on our watch. And we believe that sexism, racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger. We believe that equal means equal. And that's true in marriage. It's true every place. We will never stop fighting to ensure equality for all of our citizens. You know, I could do this all day. One more that I cannot believe I have to do in 2017. We believe in equal pay for equal work and a woman's right to decisions over her own body.
Yes.
This is what we believe. This is what we will fight for. This is what we will march for. Are you ready to fight?
Yeah.
Are you ready to march?
Yeah.
Are you ready to make sure today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that that our voices are heard across America? We.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Elizabeth Warren on Planned Parenthood from the Women's March back in January. All right. With Vice President Pence breaking the tie, Senate passes anti-Planned Parenthood bill. The measure will now go to President Trump for his signature. And we have it. In some states, Planned Parenthood would cease, especially in those Republican states. And this is what she's right. The Republican Congress, they can't wait to rip away every right that you have. They can't wait to rip away your health care, this draconian budget that's about to be proposed. And the rest of the Trump crap, the Trump garbage that's going to be coming out. And this guy he's under investigation for collusion with the Russians. But he's trying to, as always, he's trying to dodge and deflect. Instead of getting you to talk about the Republicans, he's going to try and get you to talk about Planned Parenthood, or try to get you to talk about the budget, or upping the healthcare bill again. He wants you to talk about anything except for what is actually going on with him and his administration. I call them Trump and his goons of thugs. Yes, man. You know, all of these people around him kissing his feet. You know, that's what he likes. But this guy is about to destroy America. He has destroyed America in so many ways, but he's not done. He is totally not done. And Planned Parenthood is on life support. So that seems as if all Vice President Pence is good for is breaking ties. You know, that's but he does them with glee. I mean, he's glad to break a tie because this guy cannot stand women's rights. I mean, this is you're doing something like this. You're messing with the rights of women. You're trying to tell a bunch of men, old ass, gray, old ass men, white men, trying to tell young women about their bodies and trying to act as if they know more about women's bodies than the women know about their own body. And this is just crazy. You know, these guys, remember, there are about 340 million people in the United States. 340 million people, if I'm not mistaken, I could be, but I'm close, in the United States alone. And in Congress, we have 435 representatives and 100 senators. Then we have a president. Now, who has the most power? Those 500 something people or 340 million people within the United States? Are we going to let 500 and I'm going to say 540 people in Congress and in the White House tell us what's good for us when there's 340 million, if not billion of us in the United States? Give me a break. Give me a break. And I am so proud of those people who, the constituency of some of these Republicans at some of these town halls, they've gotten in some of these guys' asses. This is the reason why that bill did not pass, that health care bill did not pass in Congress a few weeks ago. It's the people, the constituency, the voters that kill this. But you don't hear that from these politicians. It was the Freedom Caucus. It was something else. It was the Republicans in Congress. It was the constituency. It was the voters who got in these guys' asses to say, do your job or you get out. This is what happened in Congress. You know, it's about Trump. Trump don't give a damn about you, me, or anybody, especially if we're talking against him. His approval rating, I believe, is around 35% at this time during the taping of the show. It's about 35%. How does Congress listen to anybody with a 35% or lower approval rating? Even if it's 40% or 45%, it's still low. But the last time I heard, it was around 35%. That's low. Trump doesn't give a damn about what you think. He doesn't care. Trump wants what he wants. He wants to fill the pockets of his billionaire and millionaire friends at the expense of the poor and the middle class. And he doesn't give a damn about nothing. Older people, disabled people, mentally ill, they're voting to give the mentally ill guns. You got to be mentally ill to do that. So we are in trying time, folks. We are in some dark times, and we have to fight the good fight. There's no doubt about that. More of us than I'm trying to say. 340 million people in the United States, and the people have the majority. We have the majority, not those assholes Republicans in Congress. They majority, because a lot of them are just aiding and abetting Trump's crimes, like this Devis Nunes. He's aiding and abetting Trump's crimes. If this would have been a Democrat and garbage that's following Trump around, the Republicans would have impeached him a long time ago. Yeah, there is no doubt about it. There is a Russian connection here because Trump is trying to divert. He's trying to deflect. He's trying to change the narrative, talk about something else. Any other president would say, hey, wow, we welcome an administration. We welcome it. Bring him. We have nothing to hide. You've never heard anything like that from Trump. Trump is trying to go out and buy people off. He's trying to give people money to lie for him, to look the other way. All of this is happening. This is bigger than Watergate. Just wait until the shit really hits the fan. This is going to be this is going to ignite so much. There's no doubt about it. The Russians interfered with the election. And I'm pretty sure the DOJ, the Department of Justice, they know this already. They're just trying to figure out how they are going to present this to us. They know it. It doesn't take them 2 months, 3 months, 3 years to figure this out, that Trump and his team. There's so much evidence out there. There's evidence out. There's evidence from the video that he did at one of his rallies egging Russia on to hack Hillary's emails and give it to him. He looked dead in the camera several times and said this. Next thing you know, behold, Russia interfered with our elections. There's too much proof there. And Trump and his minions are trying to unsuccessfully lie their way out of this. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We can take this country back. We don't have to let this country fall into to the rotten hands or small hands of Donald Trump. This guy is all, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he's got people around him telling him what he should do and how things are done. Now he wants to take away the libel laws from the newspapers and some of these comedy shows that do skits about him. He wants to be able to sue people who lie and say unnice things about him. Well, then he's going to sue all of us then. He's going to sue the whole United States. Because we all say something. Most of the time, a lot of these comedy shows do Trump because Trump is a joke. He's a fucking joke. He's a joke. He's destroying this country. He's destroying America as we know it. You don't hear him saying, hey, make America. He's not about making America great again. He's about making his rich buddies richer. That's all it's about, making his rich buddies a hell of a lot richer by taking money from the poor and giving it to the weak, taking money from the middle class and giving it to the poor, taking money from the weak and giving it to the rich, what I should have said. And basically, that's all it is. And then saying it's good for everybody. I just hate that when a politician does something dastardly and then say it's good for you, it's good for everybody, it's good for the country, as if we're idiots. And you got a lot of politicians like that out there, folks, that look at you straight in the face and say something dumb, and and you're supposed to take it, you're supposed to believe it because they're saying it. There's 340 million people in the United States. Yeah, 340 million people. I'm going to get that number right the next time I come on the air. And it's only 500 people if you add the 100 to the 435 representatives in Congress, five and the president. It's what is it? 536 people in Congress? 530 people in Congress, combining the representatives and senators, and including the president of the United States. That's 536. 536. 536. Then we have 545 million. We have 345 million people in the United States. And we are being governed by these clowns. these damn clowns. You know, so Trump wants to sue everybody who says something bad about him. But what about all the times he said something bad about someone else? I don't understand why Obama is not suing him for that big wiretap ass lie. I'd have sued his ass off. I would have sued his pants off. We all wished Obama would do that, but he's not going to do that because he's such an upstanding statesman-like guy. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I was never an Obama fan. You know, you might call me crazy, you might call me cynical, but I was never, ever, and I don't think I ever will be. Some people were guessing that Obama would probably become a better ex-president than he was as president. I don't know if that's going to happen. And we all thought Obama was going to be coming back to Chicago after his presidency. And I knew that he wasn't going to come back because he wasn't here while he was president in the first place. If Obama came here to Chicago during his presidency, it was about for 10 or 15 minutes and he was gone. Some sort of fundraiser. So Donald Trump, this guy is a joke. And we have to do something about it. All right. Thank you for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Well, we got about, let's see. Okay. It's maybe about 12 minutes left into the show. And we're going to be off for a few days. I'm trying to recuperate, get my voice together. I got to do some writing, researching, and all this kind of thing. And I'll be back first day Monday, folks. And that would be April 3rd. Yeah, April 3rd, because this is actually... This is actually March 30th. You know, if you're listening to the show podcast, you know it's a later show than what you're listening, the date that you're listening to the show, which is cool, which is cool. And basically, all of my shows are good. I mean, I've been told, and I want to thank a lot of the people out there who've said those nice things about my show, about my what I write. I've started doing. I got Dracula. I've done some stories on Dracula. I've done two. I'm working on a third one. The reason why I've done those type of shows, I mean, those type of books, those type of stories, is because I want to try to reach a varied audience. But I know there's a lot of people out there who like that kind of stuff, and I want to try to cater to that. I'm not a horror writer. I've done a lot of stuff that's not horror. I just wanted to try my hand at it. That's why I did it. Well, he writes junk, but I don't think it's junk if you read it. I mean, I was, you know, as a child, I always liked to scare people. I always liked to scare people. I was Frankenstein. I was Wolfman. I was Dracula. I always liked to scare people. I used to walk around the house limping like I was the mummy or something. And at this date and late age, I decided, let me do a story. Let me do Dracula, you know, and it was just fun to do it. It was just, these type of things are fun. You have a great time. If you read some of that stuff, you find out George had fun writing this. And I did. And you'd be surprised at all people out there who like that kind of thing. I am not a horror writer. I like to think of myself as a diverse writer. I can write about it. I do love stories. I do action. I do the police genre, cops and robbers. You know, I just like to also nonfiction. I just like to vary my talent. I don't want to be down or nailed down to one kind of a genre, to one kind of story. I like to write all kinds of things. It's because it's fun. And as I was telling Carolyn Jones, it's therapeutic. For me, it is. All right. So you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 7:22 straight up Chicago time. We've got about 6 more minutes into the show. All righty. We are under the weather. We're going to be off for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be back here Monday through Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock to 7:30, and we got a whole slew of guests for next week, folks. Great guests. Hopefully things will go write again. And for the month of April, we're already booked up for the month of April. I'm already booked up for the month of April, so I'm going to have to start. And I looked into my email, and I've got a lot of people who want to be booked onto the show, but they will have to be booked in the month of May. No openings for the month of April. And a lot of people are okay with that, but a lot of people, you know, forget to put these dates on their calendar. And so that's what we got coming up for the near future, is that the next week, which is April from the date of this show, we got some great guests the whole month of April, you know, and then we're going to be booking for May. Yeah, my birthday's in May. At this age, I hate to see it coming, but either that or you're dead. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm all over the place. Google, you name it. I mean, when you're in this type of a situation that I'm in, and a lot of people are, you have to get yourself out there if you want people to know about what you do, what you're about, and to check out what you do and what you're about, especially if you're into radio and you're into writing and publishing as I am. All righty. What does this say? The biggest conflict when helping someone with a conflict is trying to avoid any conflict. Okay. All right. I'll buy that. All right. You've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We are just about off the air. As you can know, my voice is kind of dry, and you know that's because of the flu, the sicknesses that I've so far had or has. But anyway, hopefully next week everything will be all right, and we'll be back on track again. We're going to try to have some great guests next week, more clips, more interesting things. I thank my guests once again, Carolyn Jones, for being on the show today. I want to apologize once again to Judy Cochran for yesterday, because I had to take off early because of my sickness, the flu. And I want to thank everybody who said some nice things about me, especially on Facebook. I mean, it was a lot of people on Facebook saying, get well, get well. And if they say get well, I just have to get well. All right, then. It's been great. It's my weekend, folks. So it's my weekend, and I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank everybody for being here, for being around, and supporting me and giving me all kind of encouragement through this flu epidemic.
Help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone ever saw? Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Oh, yeah. Heaven up above. from the mighty, and the mighty from the small.
Bye bye, everybody. Take care.